Brothers and sisters in Christ, if I told you today that my sermon is called How to Be Truly Rich, I think you can guess that I'm not going to tell you how to get rich quick. So as we come to reflect on wealth and death, two popular subjects, maybe not, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your riches towards us. As we consider these important subjects, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in us, helping us to trust in you, to be truly rich, and to share in your generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Back when I was a young man, there was a clothing company formed called No Fear. It was kind of a skating and surfing, snowboarding kind of company. And they brought out some T-shirts that had some cool slogans on the No Fear T-shirts. I remember one that says, "If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space." That was kind of one of my favorites. But there was another one, and it went like this. And I'm wondering if you can finish the sentence for me. "He who dies with the most toys wins." Yes, that's how it normally goes, isn't it? But No Fear actually subverted this this saying, and the T-shirt actually read, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." A pretty appropriate kind of slogan, and actually quite biblical given what we're looking at in terms of Jesus' teaching today. He who dies with the most toys still dies. So you can spend your life in the accumulation of all this stuff, but in the end, death is still coming for everybody, including you. What a cheerful note to start a sermon on, hey? Let's see where we can go with that. I invite you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Is it? I think it's 12. I've got 11 on the top of the page, but I'm pretty sure that it's 12. Yes, Luke chapter 12, verse 13 onwards. So today we're talking about two very challenging and some would say almost taboo topics, death and wealth. And they both occur in the one parable, in the one teaching of Jesus. So in Luke chapter 12, not 11, sorry for that mistake, Jesus is approached by someone in the crowd. Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Clearly, someone's dad has died, and maybe there's a bit of a dispute between brothers or siblings about who will get what in the wake of the father's death. "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus recognizes the danger for this man and for each of us in what I would call the lure of wealth. And so today I have four main points: the lure of wealth, the certainty of death, how to be truly rich, and true riches in real life. So first of all, let's look at the lure of riches. Can someone from Luke 12 read verse 14 and 15? "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Strong language from Jesus. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. But when I stop and look around, and I don't have to look very hard at our modern Australian culture, with consumerism as one of the kind of central pillars of the way that our society works, this is exactly the opposite of what our culture tells us every single day. Almost every single day of the weekdays, I get a roll of junk mail in my letterbox. I haven't yet got around to putting up the no junk mail sign. I've had it for 2 years and I haven't put it up, which is really slack of me, but that probably happens to you. And every one of those pieces of paper is saying you need more stuff. What you have is not adequate. If you just had this thing, you would be happy, fulfilled. You would be better off. And so there's this very strong message that comes at us every day that is exactly the opposite of your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. For our culture, this is probably one of the most challenging things that Jesus ever said. Now, I want to look a little bit more at what I would call consumerism. Consumerism has been called by some sociologists and religious thinkers as the most common alternative religion in Australia. It's a religion. Why do I say that? Because consumerism, with its promises of comfort and convenience, and when you think about the rich man, the rich fool, that's exactly what he wanted, right? Comfort and convenience. I've got so much. I don't need to worry about everything. My life is secure and stable. Consumerism offers explicit promises of meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. Three of the things that often go along with religion. And so we in Australia, not necessarily us in this room, but Australians in general, we worship at the mall. We worship at the mall. That's where we go to find meaning, fulfillment, and purpose. And what a joyless religion it is if you have walked around a shopping mall looking not at the shops and the stuff, but at the people. You can see what anxiety and stress and I would call it enslavement, consumerism as an alternative religion brings to us. There's a quote that I'd like to share with you from a man called David Foster Wallace. He was a novelist and a thinker and a writer in the USA. He was not a Christian, he was an agnostic. And he actually said these words, which are quite stunning, to a college class, a commencement speech to a college class, which is usually meant to be, you know, go out there, get them, change the world, you can do anything you like as long as you put your mind to it, right? But interestingly, David Foster Wallace said these words. Here's something else that's weird but true. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshipping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship, be it Jesus Christ or Allah, be it Yahweh or the Wiccan Mother Goddess or the Four Noble Truths or some inviolable set of ethical principles, is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. You will never feel that you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. Worship power and you will end up feeling weak and afraid and you will need even more power over others to numb you to your own fear. Worship your intellect being seen as smart and you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. Isn't that interesting and compelling from a man who was an agnostic? If you worship stuff, the accumulation of wealth and security and meaning and purpose in physical things, they will eventually consume you. And that's exactly, in fact, what Jesus says to the man who asks him to divide the inheritance. And that's where we get to the certainty of death. And we have the parable of the rich fool from Luke 12, verse 16 to 20. He told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Now we could stop there and say, well, buddy, I could have a few good suggestions for you. There are people starving right outside your door. How about sharing some of your abundance with those who don't have enough? That would solve all sorts of problems. You wouldn't have to tear down your barns and build bigger ones. And then he said, this is verse 18, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." What's it all about for the rich fool? There's a bank.
Yeah.
That has the me bank. It has this slogan.
It's so annoying, that ad.
Me, 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 me. That is where this man is banking. He's banking at the bank of me. It's all about him. In fact, in the Greek, he mentions in this short couple of verses, he mentions I or my 11 times. He never once stops to think about anybody else. And then Jesus says, "But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Jesus says that getting what you really want might kill you, and then you'll have nothing. If all you're out for in your security and meaning and purpose is getting what you really want, be very careful. I've got to share this with you. It's a fun little take on something very similar to the parable of the rich fool. It's called Don Rabbit and Sexy Carrot.
Once there was a rabbit named Don Rabbit.
Sorry.
Don Rabbit went to Stumptown Coffee every morning. One morning at Stumptown, Don Rabbit saw Sexy Carrot. And Don Rabbit decided to chase Sexy Carrot. But Sexy Carrot was very fast. And Don Rabbit chased Sexy Carrot all over Oregon. And all over America. All the way to New York City. And Don Rabbit chased Sexy Carrot all the way to the moon. And Don Rabbit was very, very tired. But with one last burst of strength, Don Rabbit lunged at Sexy Carrot. Don Rabbit caught Sexy Carrot. And the moral of the story is that if you work hard, stay focused, and never give up, you will eventually get what you want in life. Unfortunately, after this story was told, Don Rabbit choked on the carrot and died. So the second moral of the story is, sometimes the things we want most in life are the things that will kill us.
Well, if nothing else sticks in your mind from the sermon, hopefully Don Rabbit and Sexy Carrot will.
That's a good book, by the way.
What you want most in life might just kill you. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. Eventually. It's bad news, folks. So this leaves me with two questions, and hopefully you with some questions too. How do I live a life that is truly rich towards God? What do true riches look like in the face of the fact that each one of us is going to face death at some point? And how do we avoid the lure of wealth? Because Jesus consistently says in the Gospels that wealth in itself is not bad, but it is one of the things that is most likely to take our focus away from God and choke our life of faith and make it unfruitful. So what do we do about death and riches? Well, in order to answer these questions, we have to go back to the concept of inheritance. Luke 12, remember that the man from the crowd says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." To be truly rich towards God, you have to receive the inheritance that comes through the death of the Son. To truly receive God's riches, which last beyond our own physical death, we have to receive those riches from God as his gift to us, his inheritance for us as his sons and daughters. And there's a couple of really important Bible passages that I'm going to read and get you to turn to. So the first one is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And if you really want a great theology of Christian generosity and giving, read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And we're actually going to be doing that more in a few weeks. But can someone read for us, it's on page 1162 of the Pew Bible, 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verse 9.
We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet poor, so that you poverty won't become rich.
Thanks, Tim. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus didn't just have barns full of grain and lots of stuff. He had the glory of a relationship with the Father and power over all things as the creator of the world from the beginning of time. Jesus had wealth and privileges and riches that are completely unimaginable to us, and he gave them up and became poor and in fact went into poverty so that we might become rich, so that we might inherit all of the things that belong to the Son. The next verse is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 11. G'day. Yeah, go on. Philippians 2, verse 6 to 11. Can someone read that, Yvette? Have you got that one?
Yep.
Start with maybe verse 5.
Okay.
Excellent. This is another version of that from the New Living Translation. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus, unlike the rich fool in the parable, and unlike every other single person who has ever lived, did not in any way treat his privileges and his great glory and wealth as something that just belonged to him. He was not selfish at all. In fact, he gave it all up in order that we could share in his privileges, in order that we could share in the rich relationship with God, which comes with being a child of God, someone who believes in Jesus. So to be truly rich towards God, you have to receive the inheritance that God has for you through the death of the Son. Jesus didn't hoard his privileges for himself. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many people. It's only through humbly receiving the inheritance as a son or daughter of God that you can be truly rich towards God, not through your own efforts, but through what Jesus has done for you. But so what does that look like in our daily life before the time that we face physical death? What does true riches in real life actually look like? Well, back in Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about this. And he talks about it elsewhere too, but it's very concentrated here in Luke chapter 12. So from verse 22 onwards, Jesus talks about how do we approach wealth? What do we do with this thing that is so powerful and yet also so potentially dangerous for us? And it looks like this. As God's people, we are set free from the enslavement of wealth and the certainty of death. We don't have to live in the alternative religion called consumerism, trying to seek our worth and our security and our purpose and our destiny in accumulating more and more stuff. We are set free from that. Jesus has liberated us. We are no longer slaves to wealth. It is a tool to be used for the good of people and for God's purposes. We're also set free from the certainty of death. We know that through Jesus' death and resurrection for us, death is not the end, and the riches that we have towards God can go on beyond our physical death because of the promise of life eternal with God forever. So Jesus talks about us being set free not to be anxious. In Luke 12, verse 22, Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." And he goes on to say, God will give you what you need. Maybe not what you want, but what you need. You do not need to worry about that. We are set free to not be anxious. We are set free to use wealth for the good, not just of ourselves, but also of others. So, for instance, to use the wealth that we have been given to care for and nurture our families, our direct human families, as parents or as family members, but also our brothers and sisters in Christ. Christian brothers and sisters in need, we can use some of our wealth to help them in the need that they have. Jesus says that true wealth, to be truly rich, wealth is to also be used for the sake of the poor. And we find an example of that in Luke 12, verse 33. Does someone have that? Can read it? Maybe David?
33.
Yep. All right, here's a secret. People say you can't take it with you. There is no tow bar on a hearse. Think about that briefly and then laugh with me. Okay, thank you. But Jesus says you can take it with you. And how do you take it with you? By giving it away. Treasure in heaven is stored up by providing for the needs of those who do not have enough here. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail. You can take it with you, but only if you give it away. If you enter into the kind of generosity that God has towards us. And Jesus also says that wealth, true riches in this life, can be used for the support of the gospel and the spread of the kingdom of God. Luke 12, verse 31 to 32. Let me read those. Yeah. What a great question. I actually have a time for questions at the end. Is it okay? I'm pretty close to the end of the sermon. Is it okay if I address that in question time afterwards? Cool. Keep me on notice, though, right? Put your hand up at the end. I'm very close to the end here. So Luke 12, verse 31 to 32 says, I'll start at verse 30. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Seek his kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. True wealth can be used for God's purposes in promoting the kingdom of God and in the spread of the gospel. So that's what true riches looks like in real life. So there we go. There we have it. He who dies with the most toys still dies. Sounds like bad news, but actually Jesus died for us to give us all of the privileges of sons and daughters of God, and we are therefore set free from the lure of wealth and the certainty of death, and we are free to be rich towards God and generous towards others through Jesus our Lord. Amen.